Ladies and gentlemen, this is Killer Cross. Please do not notify the police. Your signal has been interrupted. You are now listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Tuck your chin, please, sir. Thank you.
Wow, what a fantastic gift.
I realize the title of your show, Rock and Wrestling Local 420. And I'm going to take that idea and go extreme.
Alrighty then, this is Bill Nershey of the String Cheese Incident coming to you from up in the Windy Mount. I'm here joining Cosmic Chris on the Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
This is the Big Ugly J.D. Bishop, and if you're not listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420, you must be stupid!
Hey dear radio buddies, it's me, Max Volume. You are listening to Rock and Wrestling and Local 420 with Cosmic Chris.
Hey, this is Chad of the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling Podcast. When you're done listening to my show, head on over and listen to the Rock and Wrestling Local 420, and I guarantee you will not be disappointed.
Hey, folks, I got a name for you, one of your greatest podcasts and podcasts alive today. They don't call you a great podcast. They call you Rock and Wrestling and Local 420. Beat it if you can.
Hey, welcome to another exciting episode of Rock and Wrestling Local 420. I am your host, Cosmic Chris. As always, I am here every week to talk about gossip, news, bullshit, all sorts of just different shit that involves the world of music, involves the world of professional wrestling, and involves Mary Joanna. Speaking of which, I'm gonna take a hit here in a few minutes after I get in my monologue. So, I want to start off this week and talk about, I've actually watched a few different documentaries in the last week. I'm about halfway done with The Sound of Metal, I think it's called. It's this kid that he played in Rogue One, and he plays a drummer, and he's going deaf. And it's not a documentary, it's an actual movie. And I'm about halfway through it, and it's pretty good. But I've been back and forth watching a few different ones. Let's see, one that I've watched, was actually an awesome documentary on the band X. I am like super stoked. This documentary was just amazing. It just goes from the beginning of X and how, because basically X is a couple. It's the one guy, the bass player, guitar player, and the girl. And they have a regular guitar player and a drummer too. But it's just about the story of how X was formed and how it became a band, one of the world's most, underground and underrated band. And it's just a really good documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. I rewatched the Twisted Sister one just because I really wanted to watch it again, because I have seen that one, but it was on. And I tried getting into this Devo one, but it turned out it wasn't really a documentary. It's just like 20 videos that they shot from the beginning to the end of their career. And it's called The Untold Truth of Devo. But that's the thing. It's not like a documentary. It's just their videos. And so I wasn't too into that one. I got excited thinking, oh, wow, a documentary about Devo. Turns out it's just their videos. So, but I finished Aquarius. That was a good one about David Duchovny and being a cop involved with the Manson family. And it's totally, like, fictitious, but it was cool. I heard, let's see, also the third season of Umbrella Academy is set to come out later this year, apparently. And I hate it when shows do this. They take years to come out, and it's like they're only like 10 episodes, you know? I mean, Umbrella Academy was 13 or 14 episodes. I think it was 13 episodes a season. But the fact that there's like a year or so in between episodes, I don't know. I don't really dig that. I dig the classic 24 episodes a season in 1 year, you know? So, but, oh, you know what I really, what I watched that was awesome was, I cannot remember the name of it, but it was about the Parliament Funkadelic. And it was all the ex-band members of Parliament and the girls just basically telling them how George controlled everything and he's basically kind of like this big pimp and got him, paid him in cocaine and like got him all strung out. And it's essentially them just talking shit about George. They say good things about him, don't get me wrong. They say how much of a genius he was, but they also say, yeah, he freaking basically turned me into a junkie because he just kept giving me cocaine. And I was like, no, dude, I can't. I don't want cocaine. I want my money, you know? And then it goes into them how they had to force him when George, because they were only going to elect George Clinton into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they were like, dude, if you don't at least do... say that we're part of this, then, you know, you got no band, fuck it, you know, they basically, like, a mutiny kind of thing, and the girls, that's the other thing, the girls, the Brides of Funkenstein and all that shit, they didn't even get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was like, they were just, like, treated as groupies and stuff. Just a killer fucking documentary. I definitely, think you should, check it out. And, oh God, what was the other one? Oh man, there was another one. They've got the David Becker one, which is really good, but I've seen that. Speaking of David Becker, he was actually, admitted to the hospital a few days ago and, for, breathing problems. So let's hope that he gets better. Let's see, what else? I'm trying to think of all the stuff that I watched, because I watched like three or four different documentaries that were all really good. X was my favorite one, though. But, actually, you know what? X was my favorite one, but I don't know. I kind of think Parliament. Now that I take it back, I take that back. Parliament was definitely my favorite documentary. X was up there, though, because I was always a big X fan. Mainly because I grew up on X. And I wouldn't have even known who X was, except in Reno, we had a band called Gunshot Liquor, which modeled themselves completely after X. And so they introduced me to X, actually, because they were like, well, X is our favorite band. And I was, you know, a teenager. I was like 18. I was like, who the fuck is X? So they actually turned me on to X. So I didn't even know about X until the early 90s, and they were already a band for 10 or 15 years by then. Yeah, if it weren't for Gunshot, I wouldn't have known who X was. So that's the cool thing about growing up in Reno. So let's see, what else do we got here? Let's see, getting into some news, you know what, I did watch the rest WWE Hall of Fame, and I watched Ozzy get inducted, and I'm going to talk about that in the wrestling segment, but, you know, I mean, it was kind of cool watching Ozzy get inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame, so I got to admit. Judas Priest Spring Summer European Tour moved to 2022. Of course, who didn't see that coming? And there's going to be a bunch of stuff announced now that's for 2022. Roger Waters announced his North American tour for 2022. couple other bands I can't remember right offhand, but Cheap Trick's Robin Zander doesn't agree with Paul Stanley about releasing new music because, as far as Kiss is concerned, nobody wants to hear Kiss's new music. Well, Cheap Trick, they say, well, we make records for ourselves. If people like them, cool, but if they don't, we don't give a fuck. We were put here to create music. That's what I love about Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick is like the Dead. You know, whenever the Dead came out with new music, nobody went to the bathroom. Everyone was like, dude, what's this song? Cool, you know? And so Cheap Trick is kind of like the Dead in my eyes, as far as they had a slew of hits, but they went out and earned their audience by just playing, and they don't do set lists. I mean, they do the core four songs that they're famous for at every show, but their set lists are never the same, which is one of the reasons I love Cheap Trick. And I was never a huge fan of Cheap Trick. As a kid, I didn't really get them. And it wasn't until later in life that I started to appreciate them. It was the same thing with Aerosmith. I wasn't a huge Aerosmith fan, and I'm still not even the biggest Aerosmith fan, but I learned to appreciate them. Same thing with the Stones. I grew up as a Beatles kid, and now I love the Stones. I think the Stones was awesome, and they are awesome. If you think about it, the Stones are like the only band that are just honestly still around and still rocking. You just can't picture... You don't think about the Stones because you don't picture any time in your life without the Stones. So, Blackmore's Knights, Richie Blackmore and Candace Knight discuss Nature's Light album, Part 1, in a video. And, you know, speaking of Candace Knight, Candace Knight today was on Max Volume show on KZZ. He has a weekly Sunday show called The Big Hairy Library. And she was on his show, and it was pretty fucking awesome, man. I love how when Max interviews people, because that's the thing. Like, growing up here in Reno with Max as a DJ, it's so different than, say, Eddie Trunk in the way he thinks. I love Eddie Trunk. I mean, he's one of my idols. But, you know, he talks about how a lot of classic rock stations don't play new music. Well, that may be true around the world, but here, KOZZ plays new music from classic bands. That's one of the reasons I love it, you know? And, like, he talks about, oh, you never hear Iron Maiden on the radio. KOZZ plays Iron Maiden all the time. In the daytime, in the nighttime, like, whatever, you know? There's stuff that they play, you know, and it's just so weird because I just get a different feeling. Sometimes I listen to Eddie Trunk and I'm like I didn't even know Rainbow without Dio. You know, like, I didn't grow up on Joe Lynn Turner. I knew the song Street of Dreams. I had no idea that was a Rainbow song. I knew Graham Bonnet and Since You've Been Gone. Had no idea it was Rainbow. My whole life, you know, Rainbow is Dio. That's all I've ever known. And then now that I know different because I'm older now. But it's just weird because he talks about, oh, yeah, you know, when people think of Rainbow, they don't think of Dio. And it's like, I disagree with that because all I ever hear on KOZZ, yeah, you'll hear Street of Dreams and Since You've Been Gone on KOZZ. But you'll hear Man on the Silver Mountain all the time. Today, he played Man on the Silver Mountain. So, you know, I don't know. I think Reno's a little bit different from the rest of the world. Janet Gardner has no regrets about leaving Vixen, but doesn't rule out rejoining the band at some point. So, basically, she goes on this podcast and just tells the guy that, as far as she's concerned, she has no plans on ever rejoining Vixen. But she sees these bands say that type of shit all the time, and then 2 years later get back together. So she's saying, I'm never going to say never. So I dig that because at least she's open and honest about it. And she basically talks about, well, she's the only one in the band that actually has kids. So her and her husband have three kids, and you know, they have to sneak down to the basement every so often to record solo tracks, which is one of the main reasons she left the band, is because she wanted to pursue a solo career. Because when her time out of Vixen, before they did that VH1 Bands Reunited thing, she was actually a realtor, I think. No, was that Roxy? Either way, I can't remember. But they all had careers that weren't in rock and roll. Like, I think Cher was the only one that had a band with her boyfriend or something at the time. I forget the name of it. But, yeah, I mean, they all had careers outside of music. So, in other news, here's something that I thought was pretty fucking cool. Punk band social media accounts got deleted in QAnon mix-up. Here's the kicker. Okay, you think, oh yeah, what was their band name? QAnon or something like that? No. And they have nothing to do. They were like, hey, they don't even know about the whole QAnon thing. They formed a band in Oakland called Adrenochrome. Because, you know, and that's the thing that most of these QAnon things, they don't tell you. Adrenochrome is readily available. It does not have to be harvested by babies. That's the whole misconception about this. You can get adrenochrome on the fucking internet. It's not hard to get. Yes, it is adrenaline and stuff. So that, yes, that stuff's true. But it's not this like thing that they have to fucking torture babies to get. It's just fucking funny is what it is. So basically this band, they don't even know what QAnon is, but they know what Adrenochrome is. So they name their band Adrenochrome. So because all this QAnon bullshit happens, all these sites and social media things get shut down. Well, they lose access to their social media and they're wondering why. They're like, what the fuck? Why can't we get into our account? Well, it's because they named their band Adrenochrome. And it's so fucking funny that you couldn't make this shit up. I think this is so fucking hilarious. I've never heard of the band, but I can see how it would be kind of fucked up, you know, if you're in this band and you don't know why, because you're not into the QAnon thing. You have no idea what this shit is about. And you didn't name your band Adrenochrome for QAnon. You named your band Adrenochrome because, you know, they know what Adrenochrome is. They've read Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, where they talk about it. That was the first time I had ever heard of it, was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which was fucking 25 fucking years ago when I read the book and saw the movies and all that shit. So, I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was fucking funny. And that, see, now that's a good, worthwhile news story. You're like, you know, a lot of this shit, like, why is that even news? This is news because it's fucking hilarious. So 26 years ago, White Zombie released Astro Creep 2000. And I just like, wow, 26 years ago. And there's a lot, you know what? There's a lot of anniversaries right now. Because it's also 33 years ago, Iron Maiden released Seventh Son of the Seventh Son, which is my all-time favorite Iron Maiden album. And I loved it. And, okay, so check this out. Kid Cudi dons a dress and a green cardigan in honor of Kurt Cobain. I didn't realize, because first of all, I didn't know who Kid Cudi was. And I watched SNL last night and I saw him in the dress. And then, I mean, I saw him, you know, in the green flannel with the Kurt Cobain shirt and all that. I didn't think about it. And now I get it. And so obviously, because I was like, why is he wearing a dress? Because I don't remember. I remember Nirvana on Saturday Night Live, but I don't remember him wearing a dress on Saturday Night Live, but maybe he did. But apparently he's a Nirvana fan, so that's why he did that. 38 years ago, Dave Mustaine was fired from Metallica. Oh, wow. 38 years ago. Holy shit. Yeah, because in 81 it was 83, yeah. Crazy, man. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But then again, you know, when I was just finding out who Metallica was, Megadeth was already a band. And so I was, in 1981, I was 6 years old. I saw Metallica for the first time when I was like 11. It took me a while to realize that Megadeth and the story behind all that stuff. So, you know, I didn't find it out until the late 80s that Megadeth formed out of Metallica because of Dave Mustaine. So, yeah, man. Hard to believe it's been that fucking long, man. Let's see, what else do we got here? We have, let's see, as I scroll down, Blackberry Smoke tell a veteran's tale on a poignant ain't the same. On the poignant ain't the same. I don't get that. Ain't the same comes from Blackberry Smoke's upcoming album. Oh, I guess that's a song or something on that. Okay. And that's the story behind the song. Okay. But, you know, there's an article, I'm not going to go into it, but I think it's kind of funny because it says, watch David Gilmour make Fleetwood Mac's Albatross even sadder than it was previously. You know, because Albatross is not like the greatest song in the world. I just think it's fucking funny because is he making it better because of that, or is he just fucking ruining it? That's what I think is funny. Finally, the White Stripes announced 20th anniversary of White Blood Cell's companion album. I wasn't a huge White Stripes fan to begin with. I liked the Seven Nation Army, but honestly, to be quite honest, I like the Oak Ridge Boys version of Seven Nation Army more than I like the White Stripes version. I'm not into like two-piece bands. I don't know. It's not my thing. But hey, man, it's hard to believe that it's been 20 years since that album came out. So, all right, we're going to take a short break. And, you know, before I go into the break, I'm going to say, so, you know, I record one segment on Sunday nights and then the second and the last segment on Monday nights. So in the morning, I'm scheduled to do my interview with Ryan Stasek from Umphrey's McGee. So I'm going to hopefully do that interview tomorrow. And by tomorrow night, when I come back with the wrestling segment, I'll let you know if that interview actually happens or gets postponed or whatever. But fingers crossed, I'm really stoked that I'm going to get an interview with Ryan Stasek because I'm a huge Umphrey's McGee fan. So let's take another pause for the cause, and I'll see you in a little bit when we get back. And I'll talk about some wrestling.
Hey, this is Kevin Kleinrock from Masked Republic and the Keeping It 100 with Conan podcast. And you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Make sure you tune in every week.
Hey, it's Pat Kelly of the West Coast Wrestling Connection and the Golf Guys Radio Show. And you're listening to my buddy, Cosmic Chris, Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
Hi, this is Keith Coogan. You may remember me as Brad from Invention and Babysitting, or Kenny from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420 with Cosmic Chris.
Hey folks, let me tell you about DDP Yoga. At a time in my life not so long ago, I was suffering from Hep C as well as diabetes and well over 300 pounds. And a friend of mine sent me a YouTube video of this man, Arthur Borman. He was a paratrooper that had been told he would never walk again without the use of crutches. He gave DDP Yoga a try and is now one of DDP's leading success stories, as well as helping such people as Scott Hall, Chris Jericho, Gabriel Iglesias, Corey Taylor, Jake the Snake Roberts, Stevie Richards, and countless others. Diamond Dallas Page originally developed DDP Yoga for athletes such as himself who had suffered years of injury due to high-impact sports. When he ruptured his L4 and L5 spinal discs during the height of his professional wrestling career, he was so desperate to keep his childhood dream alive that he was willing to try anything. So he tried yoga for the first time. I know firsthand the benefits that DDP Yoga has to offer. Because Dallas had experience in many forms of fitness, he quickly learned how different yoga was from other traditional workouts. Soon, he started mixing elements of yoga with his rehab as well as traditional workout principles. For almost a decade, he has refined his program and has become a master at teaching it to others. DDP has saved my life. I encourage you to buy the discs as I have. Go to ddpyoga.com or you can download the DDP Yoga Now app. You can do it anywhere you want. He has cooking segments, live daily workout segments. I encourage you to check it out. Start living a healthier life. And hey, this ain't your mama's yoga.
So this is Greg Golden from the Greg Golden Band, Bizarre Guitar in Reno, Nevada, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Those guys rock.
Okay, we are back. Oh, man. Actually, I'm recording this second part Tuesday night. I kind of got screwed out of recording last night, so this is a little late. Normally, I have it up, you know, by Tuesday afternoon, so I'll definitely have it up in the morning, so just to let you guys know. Okay, so before I get into talking about wrestling, yes, I did record the interview with Ryan Stasek from Umphrey's McGee. My editor is out of town for a couple weeks, so he's not even going to be able to look at it till the beginning of May. So within the next 3 weeks or so, I will definitely get that to you. It was awesome talking to the guy. I learned a lot about Umphrey's McGee, and we just sat there and shot the shit for like 45 minutes, man, about music and festivals and COVID and all sorts of shit. So definitely a look out for that episode and check it out when I upload it. It's going to be a great episode. So with that said, let's see here. Of course, guitarist Nita Strauss from Alice Cooper's band, huge wrestling fan, has expressed, I guess, interest in trying to wrestle. Whether she does or not, it doesn't say here. But she's all, I'm just as athletic as the rest of them, so I think I could do it. So, like I said, it doesn't go into real detail like if they're going to try and do it or not, but she has at least said that she might be interested and she feels that she could do it, which I think it would be cool, dude. Hurricane Nita, man, all the way. I mean, I think that would be awesome. So, apparently, WWE has basically said this is the 24th anniversary. I think they're talking about the first time ECW like started coming to WWE, which was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like 97. ECW was all through the early to mid 90s, but by the time they started doing WWE stuff, crossovers. So yeah, so apparently it's been 24 years. And so Taz apparently spoke out against WWE, the fact that they didn't tag him in the tweet. You know, just, I don't know if it's just because he works for AEW or if they've got beef. But, you know, I mean, it's just like, he's like, I guess he feels like, dude, you should have fucking tagged me, you motherfuckers. I don't care if I work for AEW. I was a part of that shit. I kind of agree, man. There's all sorts of these good crossovers going with Impact and AEW and all that stuff. And WWE has never crossed over, really. And maybe you had with the Monday Night Wars with WCW and WWF. But really, they don't talk about any other companies. All they care about is them. And I think that hurts the business. I think the business is better when other companies, like guys could come out in TNA and say, dude, I was a WWE superstar. I worked for WCW. I did that. You know, I think they should be able to add promos like that. So I think it's just bad form on WWE. I know that's how they usually do it, but I disagree with it. So I've always thought they should acknowledge accolades from other companies, but that's how Vince runs his company, and That's how he wants to run his company. No respect for other people. I just watched Karrion Kross come out and deliver a killer opening promo to NXT. I haven't made it really. There's a tag team match going on right now, but I paused out of it so I could record this. But, I definitely finished Raw, and I guess, Alexa Bliss, is, not acknowledging the Fiend anymore. I think she's stronger than the Fiend now. Or the darkness, as she likes to say. So I don't know what's going on there. I think she wants to be her own scary character. So that ought to be interesting. There are some storylines that are looking good. AEW, is looking good as far as the Inner Circle. Sorry about that. The Inner Circle, because they're kicking ass right now and taking names, so that's kind of looking good. But outside of that, it's just, I'm enjoying certain things. Also, Leo Rush apparently trademarked his name, and he was using Leo Rush before he went to WWE. Now he's at AAA, where he's the champion. And he just announced that he trademarked the name so he can use Leo Rush even outside of the WWE, which is kind of cool, that he figured it out. Because that's what Rhino did. WWE only owns one spelling of Rhino. The other spelling of Rhino, R-I-N-O or R-H-I-N-O or whatever, and R-H-Y-N-O or whatever, he trademarked that shit a long time ago, so that's why Rhino can always be Rhino. So they can say, oh, we own the name Rhino. Yeah, you own that spelling of it, but I own this spelling of it. So Leo Rush sounds like, he's thinking with his head on, his thinking cap. And he's obviously the cruiserweight champ for AAA right now, so he's not even in WWE anymore. So, all right, what have we got up next? Charlotte's been given a good promo with, this whole, her whole return now after WrestleMania, which, like I said, I didn't get to see WrestleMania. I did get to see the Hall of Fame, which, it was an hour and a half. It was what it was. I downloaded it off the internet. It wasn't like the good 3.5 hours like you would normally see on the WWE Network. But what I saw of it, it was all right. One of the things I thought was really weird is Vince McMahon apparently, he said something about he wants the Hall of Fame to have its ups and downs. And like, a normal scripted show has ups and downs, but the Hall of Fame, there should be no downs in the Hall of Fame. There should, it shouldn't have ups and downs. The whole show, because he wants it to be entertainment as well. Well, it is entertaining, but I don't think it needs downs. I can see Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Impact having ups and downs. But a Hall of Fame, you want it to just all be up, as far as I'm concerned. So, I don't know. We saw Ozzy get inducted. We saw the Great Khali. That was really good. Let's see. Who else? Eric Bischoff was my favorite. Let's see. Who was the main one? Molly Holly was really good, actually. I definitely enjoyed Molly Holly. Oh, Kane, yeah. Glenn Jacobs, that was really interesting. I enjoyed that. But, I didn't get to see the 2020, and I thought they had said they were going to show 2020 and 2021. So, I don't know. I just saw the 2021. And like I said, it was good for what it is. But, whatever. Hopefully we'll be getting back to doing this normal life again. I just got my first shot of Moderna, so I am halfway there. I got to go back on May 8th for my second dose. So I got to get up early, go get my second dose, come home, take a nap, work for a few hours, and then drive up to Tahoe, because on May 8th, I'm going back to the Crystal Bay Club to see the Greg Golden Band. So there's a lot of good stuff happening, hopefully here soon for me. I'm going to start booking shows at this bar that I've been hanging out at. So hopefully, I'm not the booking agent. It's just I'm going to work with the girl that does the music there and put a few bands in there like I used to do at Jub Jubs. So hopefully we'll get some music over at the Elbow Room. If you're in Reno, check it out. But, you know, I mean, I've been, like I said, for the past couple weeks, I've been enjoying the wrestling. It's just, you know, I'm just not happy about the whole Peacock thing. And I don't care how much of a good deal it is. And it is a good deal. $250 if you go through the WWE side. That is really good. It's the principle of the thing. They want you to do all these streaming sites. And I'm not going to fucking do it anymore, dude. There's nothing on Peacock that I give two shits about outside of the WWE Network and the Punky Brewster. And I already downloaded all those episodes, so I've seen them. So WWE Network is the only reason. And honestly, after the way they treated me, after 5-6 years of loyalty at $9.99, which is, you know, $119 and some odd cents, basically every year, you know. So I've been giving them about $120 every year for the past 6 years. So I've got a good $500-$700 invested in the WWE Network. And I liked, if I didn't go to it for 3 months, fine. But if I wanted to, I could. And I feel robbed. So as far as I'm concerned, fuck the WWE on the Peacock. And I don't give a fuck. So screw those guys. And I'm still going to enjoy my wrestling, because now the NXT's moving to Tuesday nights. I can actually go Raw, NXT, and then on Wednesdays I could probably record some Ring of Honor and AEW. But then Thursdays, like I said, I don't get access anymore, so I still can't see Impact. But then Friday I can get SmackDown. And then whatever I don't see, I can finish up on the weekend. So I'm going to enjoy having a more open schedule as far as watching my wrestling. So, yeah. Hey, let's take another break, and then we'll come back with the closing of the show.
This is Hotshot Danny Duggan, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling, Local 420.
All the men! everyone. This is Joe V, formerly of Pro Wrestling Uncut and the West Coast Wrestling Connection. You're listening to Rock and Wrestling with my man, Cosmic Chris.
Hey, everyone. We have reached the end of this week's episode. This was episode 182, and we are drawing near, like I said, to episode 200. So I'm kind of thinking what I want to do with episode 200, since I don't really play a lot of music anymore. I'll probably play some of the stuff that I'm allowed to play and get away with. But I'm thinking about what I can do and what I can't. So I'm trying to think ahead. I know I'm going to be enjoying that episode with Ryan Stasek for Mumphreys McGee. So once again, thank you for his time. And let's see. I want to throw some love to the Z-Man, Brian Zane. Watch his show on YouTube called Wrestling with Regret, all W's. He's been an inspiration for me for the past 5 years. So check out his show. Let's see. Also, Jeff Aiken from the Starfleet Leadership Academy from the West Coast Wrestling Connection. Those of you in Portland know. Check out his show where he breaks down old episodes of Star Trek and whatever, DS9, The Next Generation, Enterprise, Picard, etc., etc. Check out his show. Check out John and Chad from the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling on Podomatic, which is the same site that I'm on. And we both have donate buttons through PayPal. And, you know, if you want to PayPal me up, you know, check that out. You can also Cash App me, money symbol Hippie Pimp, HIPPIPIMP. So donate to their or my podcast. They also got another podcast on Vince Russo's The Brand on the Realm Network with Shane Douglas called the Triple Threat Podcast. So check out that show. That's a really good show. And I'm a brand member. I definitely enjoy being a brand member. I used to exclusively just listen to Vince Russo on Podcast One until Ryan Satin kind of screwed him out of that. And then I actually went and did the Realm Network, and it I'm sure that Vince is right. His shit probably was better once he got off of it, because I joined it and a bunch of other people joined it, and I like it because you get like 10 podcasts a week for like $4 or $4 a month. You know, like, that's fucking amazing. All different people. You know, Big Vito has one. Goldie has one. You know, just like Shane and the Two-Man Power Trip guys have one. So check it out. Also, check out Chad's other podcast called Declassified. It's kind of like Jeff Aiken's show, where he breaks down old episodes of Raw is War. And I'm talking the beginning in the 90s, Raw is War, the two-hour show. First hour was Raw, second hour was the War Zone. Yeah, so he breaks down old episodes of that. That's a wonderful show. Show some love to Chef Nikki, my one of the best friends I've ever had, meow. I love Chef Nikki. She has a podcast now called the Mystic Meals Podcast. Show her some love on social media, as well as, hey, you know what? Check out I Lived the 80s podcast with Joe and Ed Wido. So every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, every Wednesday. And I love their show. They shout me out every week, so I shout them out every week. Good friends. I definitely am enjoying engaging every Wednesday with them. So let's see. Show them some love. You know what? Show some local love to my buddy Nick Ramirez and his buddy Rory Dowd with the Worst Little Podcast. That's a really awesome podcast that's been going on for well over 10 years. And it's definitely, you know, it's got its share of followers. It's got way more followers than I do. So show them some love. And, you know, if you want to catch me on Spotify, iTunes, etc., Stitcher, You can catch me anywhere you can get a podcast. So you can also email me, submit some music, submit some ideas for things you think would make the show better at rockandwrestlinglocal420@gmail.com, as well as facebook.com/rockandwrestlinglocal420. So check me out on there. Find me on the Twitter at Punching Grogu. You can always tweet me and follow me on Twitter. If you want to find out where I'm most active, then check me out on Instagram. I'm also on YouTube, so check out my YouTube channel and hit the little bell and subscribe. But Instagram is where I'm absolutely the most active. Punching Baby Yoda on Instagram. I'm up now to over 1,000 followers, so it's not a lot. But, you know, in your eyes, you know, there's people with 3 million followers. But for someone like me, I'm pretty fucking happy with it. So I finally reached the 1,000 mark. So, you know, check me out on Instagram. Follow me. If you want to say anything, shout me out. Hit me up. Email me, etc., etc. But other than that, see you guys next week. Ciao.